Thank the light, everybody. I am Desmond. This is my hetero life mate.
Parched Ailman. Actually, just kidding. I'm Justin. I'm Parched Ailman on Twitter.
He's too busy typing slander into my chat window to talk to you people out there, you fine, fine listeners out there. Thank you for joining us. We have something very special planned for the next couple episodes. I have always wanted to do some full-length commentaries for movies or shows or something, and it's just, for whatever reason, it's never worked out. And I feel like, you know what, we're at the beginning of this adventure. Everyone's just finished the first season. They're probably going to do a rewatch. This would be a really fun way to do a rewatch. We're going to sync up with you. We're going to hit play. And we're just going to bullshit our way through the episodes. No pausing. If I got to pee, then you're just going to have to deal with the silence. If Fatty's doing shots, you're just going to have to be jealous. I don't know what else to tell you.
Bro, we've been dreaming about commentaries since we used to watch The Clerks Coming. Like, I didn't know what a commentary track was until you're like, hey, these DVDs, man, they got these like commentary tracks. And then we started like watching them. And like, I'll never forget, one of my favorite ones was the Fear and Loathing one with Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes.
And if any of you are fans of the movie Fear and Loathing, find the Criterion Collection and find the one with his, he calls and leaves Johnny Depp a nasty message. Actually, he leaves Johnny Depp a cool message. He calls Benicio del Toro and calls him like a scumbag. He's like, you're not answering the phone because of your goddamn wretched ambition. He goes out and shoots a shotgun. Yeah.
Even if you're not a fan of that movie, if you're fond of good, just random human beingness, that is classic.
Yeah, just random off the cusp funniness. Hunter S. Thompson was a crazy
my
son of a bitch.
My first ever, sorry to cut you off. My first ever commentary was a double VHS of the movie Scream. And the second VHS had the commentary track on.
That's a random one for a commentary track. I swear to God, I think it was like Clerks or something, because there was like the Clerks guys, you know, they had a Jay and Silent Bob commentary. They had like a Steve, you know, like all the guy that the Scott Mosier had a commentary and Dante had a commentary. It was like so good.
Well, that was I think it was the Mallrats one was the total classic where Jason Mewes kept nodding off. And yeah. Ben Affleck kept kicking him.
Like, oh, sweet, sweet heroin.
So good. Which I think he's been clean for like way over 10 years. Like that's what got those two into podcasting, was that Kevin Smith was like, I need to keep you clean. So we're going to turn on the mic.
I need to give you a job.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the kind of great commentary that you're in for. We are definitely, definitely not going to stay on track. We will chime in. We'll talk about some interesting things about the movies, but we might just zone off and talk about Christmas dinner for a little while, and that's okay.
Buckle in, you nerds.
All right, I'm going to hit play, and then we are going to talk about what we're seeing on the screen so that we can make sure that we're in sync, and then you guys can make sure and sync up your video and enjoy the ride.
Right, episode 2, MFers.
Oh yeah, we forgot to, not that it matters, but just to keep everything in check. This is season 1, episode 2 of The Wheel of Time, called Shadows Waiting. And another cool thing about us doing this is that the first time we did the first 4 episodes, we banged them out in 2 hours because we were a little bit behind. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice to give each one of these episodes, no matter how many tangents we take, give each one of these early episodes their due time. I have skipped the recap. We are at 59 seconds, and I'm hitting play now.
And cut. I mean, go.
Oh, white tents. Oh, that's right.
Oh, these fuckers.
Oh, my God. Episode 2. We're in the shit. I think that's what this is called. Season 1, episode 2, The Wheel of Time. In the shit.
That was the name of the episode on the readers before they, you know, got ready for production.
Yeah, the production title.
And they, dude, I'm sorry. Whoever the costume designer is, they give him a raise. Like, everything's money, dude. Look at the sunburst. The sunburst on the tents. How immaculate the tents are. Everyone is, like, sparkling white. A big clue of if
fuck the sunburst. How do they film these reflections without us seeing the camera?
What?
Watch this scene and watch how many times the camera is right in front of a reflective surface.
Oh. Editing.
It'll get closer. I mean, yeah, it must be CGI, but it's amazing.
Well, this is a clue that it is in our world too, is that is a delicacy from France that is considered like barbaric and like kind of went by the wayside of like rich people being overly decadent.
Ah.
The whole like bird with the bird bones poking out to burn your mouth and everything, or to make your mouth bleed.
Now we just put gold flakes on chocolate. Oh, her hands are... Why did I not notice that?
You didn't see that the first time?
I did not. I thought he walked up and took it off her hand. I mean, he did take it off her hand, but I didn't realize he took his hand...
No, he took it off her hand, all right.
Off her arm first.
And the irony of this is, like, I'm gathering by her clothes. I didn't see her color of her ring. He picked it up, but I'm guessing she's a yellow. And they're healers, so it's like, is it a yellow one? Yep, she's totally a yellow.
Yeah, she's yellow as fuck.
So they dedicate themselves to healing. Look how his hands are all bloody. Gross,
look at this!
Dude.
How do they film that?
He's such a shitbag. That's CGI. I mean, because they're not burning her. That's how I know.
All right, this is our first shot at the opening.
Oh, right. That's right. Because they didn't do it in the first one, did they?
No.
Nice. No, he's just... Oh, God. He's such a dirtbag. Fucking Eamon Valda. Hate you.
We got scoundrels, dirtbags. We are not skipping the intro, everybody. Weaving.
I wonder what the gold is. I'm guessing maybe that's like the power or something.
Well, there's gold. There's green. Oh, you're right. There is an awful lot of... They're really focused. Well, gold is what's-her-face. Is Nynaeve.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm sure this has meaning. Like, I'm sure that this lady right here was a very famous famous person of the Red Aja, you know, like...
Oh.
I'm sure these aren't just random, you know, pictures. Like, you know, this person. That lady, you know, I don't know...
Gold seems to be the intertwining color. Like they have all of the colors of the Aes Sedai represented, and then gold is what binds them.
I kind of think gold's representing the power.
Yeah.
Maybe. But they did a killer job on that. The serpent eating its own tail.
Rafe. Really good. Is it Rafe or Rafa?
Rafe. Rafe Judkins.
Ta!
Definitely apologize on these, because if there's any music that comes up, I probably will sing and it will probably sound terrible. So sorry to all people listening. It seems like a little nod to like Lord of the Rings getting out of the Shire.
Yeah.
You know, remember when they crossed the water to like get away from like the Nargools or whatever, those... When they go to Elfinland.
Oh, they go in the water?
If they can run across it and stuff, it's fine.
Oh.
What's that?
Say deep water.
Yeah, or running water, especially if it's over, you know, their heads. They don't swim. But that's also to show how hard they're being pushed, because they won't even cross stuff like that unless a fade or whatever is on their, like... Basically, you know, whipping him. Go, 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 go.
She just said, yeah, deep water. That's why they smell like piss. Or you can take it to the bottom of the lake. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine, too. Dead men don't spend fucking crowns, buddy. This is another scene that was pretty hardcore, straight out of the books. Like And that's the thing that I kind of like. I think, you know, my cousin is one person. It's like, he loves the books as much as me, but also like, he didn't like how they were finished as much. And I loved how they were finished. I thought they were amazing. And so he's kind of like been definitely on the more like, I like it, but these are all the negative things that I see with it, you know? And I'm kind of on the other side of it is like, I love it. And, you know, these are the things that I love. And then the stuff that I don't love, it's like, I don't love it so much that it takes away from how much I love the shit I love.
Yeah. So was he not going to really like the ending either way? Or could he smell the new writer? Was it one of those things where he could just, every sentence was like, this isn't fucking Robert Jordan.
You know, I'll have to ask him. I don't know. He just, I kind of think that he didn't like Brandon Sanderson's style of writing is what I thought. And I thought that he really captured kind of how the first five books were like long, but kind of fast paced. And then, you know, like really, really well done. And like I said, the, you know, he got to the middle, they got to be a little bit of a grind. And then, you know, Brandon Sanderson really like, they were like, oh, you're going to finish this series in one book. He's like, no, I'm going to finish it in three. And if you don't like it, I'm not going to do it. And they were like, okay, then. God, creepy fucking face right there.
Ah.
There's another thing that's coming. They're called Drakkar. They are.
Oh, yeah. Those are mentioned, I think, at least.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of like a man bat type thing. Imagine kind of the face of a fade, but with like more bat like features. And then they like kind of they fly in the air. So they A, do reconnaissance for like, you know, the fades and stuff to see. But they also like they kind of like hypnotize you, and then they like basically kiss you and steal your soul, and then you die.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah,
is that what happens when you eat too many peaches?
No, I think peaches you just die, just dead.
Sometimes death is better.
I want to reiterate. I swear to God, if I might, I'm gonna call fire Rafe Judkins if no one calls him sheepherder. Jokes. I'm just joking, everyone. I'm just joking. This guy, like, he was gonna get anywhere in all the heavy fucking wool. Bye.
Yeah.
Dumbass. He wouldn't even have made it to the boat.
No one's gonna take my $4 worth of wood.
Oh, you're poking holes in the story with magic and monsters? Whoa.
That's your not answer realistic. For everything.
How did he do it? Sidar.
That's your answer for everything.
Yeah, it's like I have such a boner for the things that they pulled straight out of the books. It like they could have fucking like catastrophically failed probably on many other things. And I mean, I guess some people, that is their opinion. I do see a lot of fucking hate. Although most of the people who hate on Twitter are just the stupid eggs that delete their account in a day anyway. It's like most of the cats that I see on Twitter is like people who have love for the source material or just love the show because they like the vibe, you know? That's why it was made me really happy when you're like, yeah, I get it, and I love it, and I'm ready to fucking just get in this sandbox and fuck around. Like, good, yeah. Because that's how I want. Dude, here's a big one. Watch when she stops at Rand's horse. Watch. I don't even know if it happens for a fact, but I'm just guessing. I think I noticed this in the first, like, two times I watched it. She stopped at Rand's horse. That's his horse.
Oh, she was making her way through all the horses.
Yeah, but she stopped at his. Because he did his horse didn't need it.
Oh, because he already.
In the book, he does it for Bella, which Egwene is writing because he's so worried about Egwene. Because he's like, I don't want Bella to fall behind. She's not a running horse. She's like a pack pony.
Rand's able to do that already in the book?
He doesn't. Because
I can see why
he's
when
just...
I can see why when he's on his horse, he can give that horse power, but to send power to another horse, that's purposeful.
Like he's just like because it was his horse in the beginning, yeah. It was him and Tam's horse, so he was just like petting her and stuff, and he was like telling her in the book, he's like, you gotta run, you gotta be strong, Bella, you gotta keep up because we gotta take care of Egwene, you know. And so I think that's when it happens, just inadvertently, because he it's like the power is something that's very like instinctual. It's very need driven, especially in the books. It's very need driven, and I think that's what they're trying to show you at the end when Egwene heals Nynaeve, because Egwene's not really known for her healing, but it's just, you know, when you're really strong in the power and you're meant to be, like, you don't know that you shouldn't be doing those things, so you learn stuff that maybe people would not learn because they're trying to follow the rules of the power. I don't know if that makes
sense. Right, yeah. And when you don't know what you're doing, it's all feeling, so you're just thinking to yourself, I wish she had more energy, and
yeah.
Well, guess what? She does.
and like Aes Sedai are kind of like, you never use more than, you know, earth and spirit when you're healing, or water and spirit when you're healing, or something like that, you know? And like, Nynaeve's like, well, I wasn't trained like that, so she doesn't know. Like, why wouldn't I use all five powers? Why wouldn't I use every spice at my disposal to make this steak bomb?
So this is the scene that Rand is all mad about in the Blight.
Quite important, this, for sure.
Do we know Arthur Hawkwing? Do we know him yet?
He is someone in the books. It's been, you know, about halfway between now and the breaking of the world. He kind of like united the world pretty much under his banner. But then Ishmael kind of got in his ear and started to make him distrust Aes Sedai. And then that became like a big breakup of the world, you know, like the powers that be. And he sent his armies across the oceans. And guess who just showed back up at the end of the season? The descendants of his, you know. Yeah. It's literally called.
That's Arthur Hawkwings?
Yeah, they're called the Seanchan, because the land that they found and conquered is called Siandar, Shandar. So they're called the Seanchan, and they're coming back to, you know, claim what's rightfully theirs, Arthur Hawkwing's empire. But Arthur Hawkwing's empire hasn't existed since they left, pretty much.
That's the name of my band, Desmond and the Shandars.
and the Seanchan.
That's my quartet.
That's dumb. But they started to distrust Aes Sedai really badly, Arthur Hawkwing did, and that's why they have the attitude that they have about channelers. That's why you see them in collars.
I want the source to touch me.
I know, dude. God, wouldn't it be cool if you could be magical? The force or magic, either one. I wouldn't even like use it for that much. I'd just be like, man, I don't want to get up and grab my soda. Just zip.
Obi-Wan would not like that.
Oh, come on. I'm not doing it for anything bad.
just let me grab that apple.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, in
when he's slicing the pear or whatever.
The Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt time travel movie where
Looper.
Yeah, where all the guys basically learn magic just to get laid. Like, they're literally magic and they just use it to float quarters to get laid. So is this one of those magic objects I know you were trying to explain like two or three magic objects to me.
No, definitely they have. But like, this is something that she just kind of like, how Egwene, or how I should say, how Nynaeve like kind of has to get angry to break her block. Like they all kind of learn, like all the, like they learn tricks as a girl that they don't even realize are the power. Like, oh, I'm eavesdropping to my parents by using this shell. And they don't realize that they're actually kind of channeling. And the shell is kind of like their crutch. It's, you know, it's not a power item per se, but it kind of helps them with their focus. So, you know, hers happened to be that she's like, when she was in the royal palace, when she was young, because she's from a royal line, she would wear the stone on her head and she would use it to listen to, like, to eavesdrop on people. And she didn't realize that it was kind of a trick of the power until she realized that she could channel. And then she went to the White Tower. Liandrin has a trick too, but it's not necessarily at all that innocent. So I was just listening to The Great Hunt, and she, I don't know if she's trying to kill Rand, but she is definitely inflicting pain on him, trying to get him to answer some questions. Pretty sure Padan Fain is the dude that Liandrin meets in the North Harbor, because it's definitely not like a sexual or like a boyfriend type of thing.
Where the fuck are they?
What do you mean?
Well, because most of them were all sleeping in the cave. And then Egwene came out of the cave to learn some magic. And then Rand came out of the cave to cry like a baby. And now Perrin's just, where the fuck is, like, how spread out are they?
Yeah, I don't know. Their camp's pretty,
like, I just don't, like, if Perrin's outside the cave and Rand is outside the cave, why are they not nowhere near each other? Like,
if you're running from Trollocs
chasing you,
you have the Dark One's army looking in the woods for you. But hey, you know, everybody just kind of camp wherever, make your own fire. Don't worry about posting a guard or anything. I'm sure you guys will be fine.
And they won't smell that blood on your leg. That's for sure.
See, and like, you know, like I said, a show like this, like, nothing is accidental and nothing is like kind of done without reason. It's like, why the fuck do they show you that? I really hope that they don't try to like be like,
oh,
he got his powers because he got scratched by a wolf Trolloc, because that's not a thing.
Yeah, that's weird, but this is definitely to remind us that Perrin's got the hots for Egwene. Oh, and this, because I couldn't figure out why no one saw this before, because I didn't realize he moved out of the cave.
Yeah, he's like, I came out here to be alone. Oh, dude, I hate coughing up bats, dude. It's the worst.
This is so, gagging, retching.
I want to give me a coat like Rand with a hood on it.
See, now that's not a bat. I guess it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay.
It's a pretty ratty looking bat.
Very ratty looking bat.
Well, and like, this is something that happens throughout the first book. These kind of dreams of balls among the guy with the fire, Matt, Perrin, and Rand are all having them. Because Balzamon doesn't know who the dragon is yet.
Oh, you know? I didn't.
So he's going to all their dreams. Yeah, that's fucked up. That's a cool little hideout. What's up with that little door? I need a spot like that to camp.
Yeah, this is very purposeful. That's not a cave. That's a dugout.
Oh, that's a lot of dead bats.
Oh!
Gross. Bats are so cute, though. We had a bat come into our house one time in the middle of the night. It was, unfortunately, the night that Lisa decided to watch The Crow, and I had, like, gotten stoned and pass out. She's like, there's a bat in our room. I'm like, it's a fucking moth. Go back to sleep. You're watching The Crow. And she's like, you better wake up right now and get this fucking bat out of our room. Like, throw like one of her shirts on and like running around with no pants, trying to get a broom to sweep the bat out the window, shut her in the bedroom because I just, you know, our house had those high ceilings. I'm like, if that bat gets out on the high ceilings,
yeah,
this is his house now. So
we're just, have to leave.
So I was like, shut up. And he's like, he's so cute. Just like, I'm lost. Please don't hurt me. And I'm like, please just leave. And he just took off. But he was like the size of my fist. He was little. He was so cute.
We had a week at Shakti where we had two birds and a bat get in a cabin in a week. Like it never, we were there for 2 years. It never happened again. But we just got in.
Bro, can I just tell you, my wife is like that dude in Beastmaster or something with the ferrets, except birds or flying animals.
Really?
Yeah, dude. We had this little like sparrow bird. She called me at work one day. She's like, yo, there's a fucking bird in our room. I can't get it out. And she's like freaked out. And I'm like, what? Like, come on, really?
Open a window.
So I run home on my lunch break and there's this little bird and it's snowing outside and it's cold and he won't leave. He's like on the on the shelf like, dude, it's cold outside. Just I'll leave in the morning, okay? Like, just give me a break. And I was like, my coworker's like, dude, if you want to go home and visit your wife on your lunch break, like, it's fine, man. And I'm like, no, there was legit a bird in my room.
Taking it, like, we can charge this thing rent.
She had this crow that would come up and try to like fly to her every time that she was outside for like 2 years, this baby crow. I'm not even kidding. I watched it happen. I'm like,
yeah. Crows will fucking follow you. Like,
yeah, no,
if you think crows, if you think crows are following you, they're not. It's one fucking crow.
Yeah.
And he's after you.
No, he like loved her, dude. He would always sit out there and talk to her and squawk when she was outside having tea or something. Like, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
There was a teacher at the University of Washington who was studying crows. And so he would like have to capture them and tag them sometimes. He would go to parts of the city miles away and trees full of crows would yell at him. Like, we know who you are. Get the fuck out of here.
When Lisa was bartending, she had this regular. He'd throw peanuts out for the crows. So he'd be like, I don't know. I just want to keep them from attacking me. All the music in the show is good. All of the scenery is amazing. Just when you're reading the books, you pictured that this is what they were riding through. And she dumps that ring quick. Like these cats don't know that they're about to see a warder and an Aes Sedai. They probably know that when they see one, right?
Oh yeah, you can smell it,
dude. I'm saying, like, just
yeah. If that's not a warder and an Aes Sedai, I don't know what is.
I mean, it's kind of their job.
Yeah, it is weird that they're traveling in character. So are these people just the sheriffs? Like, do they just go up and down the roads fucking with people?
Kind of. They have their own part of the world. Like, they have their own kind of like city state that's kind of like that has like a king or whatever, but they're still kind of like the ruling faction. If you like, they're kind of like the power behind the throne. God, their costumes are so perfect and they're so perfectly douchebagged.
Oh,
fuck you and your wannabe Boba Fett jangling rings. Asshole. See how his armor's different too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a questioner. And they're kind of like their own branch. It's like a rank thing, I think. I'm not sure exactly. Because like there's a dude with a white one in the back.
I think so, because King Shit was gold.
What'd you say? King Shits was gold?
Yeah. Oh, don't touch me.
I know this fucking guy, he's real fucking handsy.
Ugh.
It's just some dude that rolls up on you in the forest. He's like, I'm going to fill your ass and your lower back a little bit. It's like, how about you get your fucking hands off me, dude?
Your shoulders are a little tight.
Ah! Yeah, no. No, we don't do that anymore.
Next, you're going to tell me I'm prettier when I smile.
God, I know her face says exactly that. I hope she doesn't disappear for too big of a, like, I hope she stays around, like, with her being, like, possibly stilled. It's going to change her story arc a lot. But it's not necessarily in a bad way. That's one of the things I'm most excited about is, like, I love the story already, but I kind of know it. So to have some twist on it, or some characters maybe live through different things that characters in the books went through that wasn't their arc, I'm okay with that, because I think it's cool. Because if you think about stories that get told and retold, like, that happens.
Yeah, and it's easy in a book to have 1,000 characters. You can have 24 in a show, tops.
Yeah, that's what the dude said. He was like, you know, like, we're going to be killing some people off because, like I said, you know, miraculously, a lot of people kind of tend to make it through the last battle, weirdly, like the main characters, you know. It's like, which, you know, is poor writing in a lot of ways, but I don't care, dude. Like,
well, and if Rand needs to know something, like, instead of introducing another character for 2 episodes, they'll just have Egwin tell him or something, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, like, tangent, Walking Dead used to drive me fucking nuts because you'd be get really into the meat of the, like, the season, this, the, that season's, you know, kind of main storylines, and then they'd be like, sweet, we're gonna do 2 episodes about an important character in this episode, but, like, you know, at the beginning of, it's like, I love backstory stuff, don't get me wrong, but they waste entirely too much time on it in some shows, and it makes me nuts.
Well, and after a while, you're like, well, he's going to die this season.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, here it comes. I've seen it coming for 4 fucking episodes. So, like, in a way, like, it sucks that there's only 8 episodes, but in a way, it's like, you know, it, that will keep a lot of the unnecessarily bullshit out of it.
Yeah.
I love this. All Aes Sedai are my sisters.
Kelly and I just started. Well, Kelly actually watched it last year, but she needed a recap before she started season 2. So her and I started watching The Witcher, and holy
The Witcher is good.
I'm kind of glad. It's funny. This show. Yeah. Like, after banging out Game of Thrones and starting this and now watching The Witcher, like, I'm really enjoying kind of, like, I thought it was going to be too much, but I'm kind of liking balancing these shows against each other. And after watching The Witcher, this show is easy to keep track of.
Like, what is this right here? Is what, yeah, no, what is this? Like, is this an old, like, freeway or something? Like, what is that?
It's got to be going. It's got to be a, because they're on their way to the White Tower. So it must be, like you said, a freeway, a main thoroughfare to get to the.
This is one of my favorite parts, dude.
What city is the White Tower in again?
Tar Valon. This is so good when Matt starts singing. This makes my fucking hair stand up. Walk the footsteps of our fathers. Trail blazed by our mothers. We bore the land with their blood. Long ago. Long ago. Oh, sing of the Nazarene. Oh, weep for the blood of Amen. Cry for another in longer. It's fucking, dude, that's so good, man. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck every time. I really hope that they keep with the music in this because I love it.
Oh! So they live in Menethrin, basically.
Yeah, basically, like, up there's, like, they live near to the Mountains of Mist, and, like, the Mountains of Mist is, like, there's the ruins of Menetherin, but nobody really goes up there because it's really, like, it looks like they're probably kind of walking through the Mountains of Mist right now, and, like, so they, it's been so long, people have forgotten the history, you know?
Hence the mist.
Yeah. Very spooky. And I don't know, have you been watching any of the Origins?
I haven't. I know eventually I'm going to dig into it, but I've really enjoyed being in the dark for now because, you know, as this podcast goes on, I'm going to know way too much. And so I'm enjoying this moment of being like, I wonder what's going to happen or who the fuck is this person? I'll spoil myself soon.
Well, that's the thing. It's cool. It's like, I mean, like I know as much as, you know, obviously I'm a stoner, so I forget stuff. I focus on the shit that I want to focus on, but you know, I about as well versed in this universe or world as anyone could be. And I'm still super excited to see. I'm actually getting more excited for the tweaks on it than, you know, and then like when they tweak it and then you get something that's direct from the book that coincides with their story that they've kind of tweaked, it actually makes me more happy almost.
Yeah, when you go on a little tangent and you're like, I don't know if I, oh my God, they ended up where they were supposed to anyways.
Yeah, because I really like how Rand's, he's taken off by himself. So I'm thinking that he does that in The Dragon Reborn. He kind of like loses his shit and goes off by himself. And Matt and Perrin are kind of to themselves. But also, they all take off hunting the horn together and then Rand gets separated with Loial. So I'm curious to see which... Well, I can't wait to see the second season because I just, you know, I just want to see everything progress. I'm so excited. It's crazy. I'm like a little kid, man.
I'm hopefully going to get to watch it again with Kelly too, because she started to read the book and then I think she even listened to a little bit of the podcast and then she's like, I think I need to watch at least an episode or two so I can put some faces to these names. And then the book might be able to flow a little bit better. Because when she knows nothing and then gets into the book, she's just like, there's too many people.
Yeah, that's actually what Lisa was saying. She's like, it's helping me because I can kind of like, okay, you know, Moraine's that lady, you know, and like Rand's this kid and like Perrin's this kid. So when I'm listening to the book, I have some fucking reference for who's who. Otherwise, it's like, wait, which fuck was Perrin? Was he the guy that he was the dragon? No, he talks to the wolves. Wait, what?
Egwene and Nynaeve are the same person, right? No.
Dalfara? What? That's Fall actually one of the things that I've gotten the most like funny feedback about. People are like, it's super endearing how like he's like, they're like, you guys mispronounce shit. Like, and like most of the time you're correct, but then sometimes it's just super bad. Ooh, Moraine gets pissy right here.
Ooh.
I'm gonna fucking skull fuck that guy someday. Dead. That Eamon Valda guy? Fucking dead.
Power or no power? Killing that dude.
Well, there is a guy. This is a little.
You have a sister that can heal you. She's right there. Oh, no, she's not.
Yeah. She just doesn't know how yet. God damn it. Shoot, so close. Well, apparently Egwene could probably do it too after what she did for Nynaeve, but.
Got some wood.
I know. I'm gonna just pissily pick up wood real quick. I love the kid that plays Rand. I love him. He's perfect. He's going to have the saddest eyes by the end.
It's kind of fun too. Like we were watching a 20th anniversary of Harry Potter last night. And like, we're going to be with these people for 10 years, probably.
If I sure hope so.
Like they're already pretty much adults, but like, we're going to watch them like enter their 30th birthday.
Like, that's the hard part. Because like I said, dude, this story takes place. It's like from start to finish. It's about three and a half years. But like also what they go through, and like they even talk about it in the books, ages them up. Like they're like, you know, like Rand, you know, Rand goes through fucking hell. Actually, so does Perrin, actually. I really want to know the fucking significance of his little scratch on his leg.
Yeah, how did he... Was it a Trolloc that gave it to him?
I believe, yeah.
Oh, it must be, yeah, because it's super infected.
Well, they're going to fix the infection right now with their wolf mouth. One of the things that they... That's in the first book, majorly, in... They obviously, I can see why they didn't have time for it, because it's when Perrin and Egwene are by themselves after Shadar Logoth for a while, and they come across this dude named Elias, and he's the one that kind of helps Perrin. He's like, hey, the wolves are telling me about you. Like the whole time that these wolves are following him, Elias is with them too. And he's like, yeah, you just don't see Elias. And he's like, well, the wolves have been telling me about you, that you're like me. And you can talk to them. So, hi, puppy. Oh, little baby. So cute. And he's like, so he comes up on him and he kind of lets Perrin know, like, don't trip. It's not the power. It's just, you know, it's something that's ancient that's come again. You know, wolves used to hunt with men. It's kind of like how dogs got domesticated type of thing. And so, you know, that's what he says to him or whatever. And so he kind of learns it that way. And so hopefully when he does start to come into his power in the second season, that Elias shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a good character, and he is around for the long haul, and he's an important character. He's a good character, too.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Just, you know, difference between TV shows and books. It's like, It's easier to just sign someone on for the whole season than get him in for two episodes here and four episodes there. Like, let's just tell his whole story next season. Have you noticed, does everyone have their own song? Because I just realized that funky beat that was playing with Perrin and the wolves. Like, is that like Perrin's song? Have you noticed any of that yet?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched it enough to notice if like that song shows up like every time he shows up. Is that what you mean? Uh-oh.
Yeah, or every time something significant happens for that character.
No, Moraine's tie. She doesn't want to talk about Trollocs right now. I love how we're not even talking about the episode. People are gonna be like, I thought you were doing an episode commentary, you morons.
We're talking about the show at least most of the part time.
Yeah. He's like, Trollocs are coming. Moraine's like, sleepy.
We got 8 hours of this. If we spend six of them on the show, we're doing those are good. Ah,
dude, I can't say enough about how fucking scary the Trollocs are. Honestly, like as a book reader, what you pictured in your head, it's like it's fucking nightmare fuel, man. And they're just running at the speed of a horse, and they're 8 feet tall. And oh yeah, they have more than just their claws and shit to kill you. They have axes and just. Jesus.
Whoa.
My parents all snuggled up with Moraine. Shots. For all of my listeners, that's me shouting at my wife to give us whiskey.
Say hi, Lisa.
She's the best wife ever. She's like, done.
One for you, two for me.
That's two for me. One for you, two for me. I'll be right back, listeners.
Oh, we are going into the creepy city that the Trollocs won't even go to. That is a sign, people.
Bend over and I'll show you.
If evil won't go there, nor shall you.
gross.
I can't wait.
Disgusting.
I am.
Everyone's, you always got to go too far, Jesse.
There's no birds.
There's no birds. My mouth is open.
I'm not catching any gnats in my teeth. What's wrong?
They did a kick-ass job with this. This is directly from the books, the Shadar Logoth. And I mean, it's a little bit different. Moraine gets there. I don't know. I think they do pretty much carry her in.
Is she just awake enough to be like, no, in the books? And they're like, too bad. We're going in. Ooh, nice gymnasium.
I know. Where's the hoops? Let's get down.
Seriously. I got next.
I like how, like, I don't know, if you were in this situation, I know it's, you know, suspending disbelief. It's like, would you walk directly to the middle of the room? All right, let's get right here where everyone is. Maybe get a like little nook or something. I don't know.
Find just a saying. Shadow.
Thank you, baby. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Aridol.
Oh God, he makes me fucking horny as Lan. I didn't like him at first because I imagined the Lan from the books being a little bit more like I said, the guy from Star Wars, just Mongolian almost looking. But dude, this guy is such a good actor and he's really killing it. I really like it. What was he doing to her throat, dude? What was it?
Yeah. That's television show lingo for we're going to fuck everything up right
this
now.
This place is super dangerous. Don't get out of my sight. Let's go explore. No.
Bye.
No.
I'm going to go sleep outside.
It's like Scream. You're all dead.
Yeah.
You're breaking all the fucking horror movie rules.
Split up. Dead.
I know. Hey, don't go anywhere. Don't eat any food. Hey, let's split up and look around. No.
Bye.
No. It's like, you
maybe
know,
there's
be the
some
weenie,
berries
man.
Over here.
Okay, I'm not.
The only thing that grows here are peaches.
And sadness. No. Like, it's just, this place is super poisonous. And so, like, they did a good job. Just, man.
I'm going to pee real quick so I can motor into the finale.
Jesus Christ, you have the bladder of a 4-year-old girl. I thought I was bad. Oh, it's going to get so sad for you guys, man. Gwen, second season is going to be super rough on you. Rand, it really just never gets good for you, dude. Never. I guess like they say, in this life or the next, maybe the next one will be nicer to you. Winston. Oh, Perrin's looking sad again. Dude, that dude, I just saw him walk up with the dagger. I was like, what the fuck?
So Perrin's wife gave this to him, right?
Yeah, she's a blacksmith, so she was the town blacksmith, so she made it. And then she gave it to him as a gift. because they're all the same age, I guess. I wonder if they're kind of trying to foreshadow that Matt may be gay, because like just the way he, him and, or, you know, I don't know, because the bonds of friendship are super close in the book. So I can't tell if it's just that friendship love. What are you doing, psycho dog? The bonds of friendship are that close, or, you know, if they're, you know, because that's one of the things, you know, you just, you know, you've got your friends back to the end, you know.
My buddy.
Hey, his mouth's closed.
My buddy. Wherever I go, he go, my buddy. You can run for your life. I'm going to stab you in the face with it.
I just can't. I want second season to be here so quick for like so many reasons, but literally, and this is going to sound super lame, but one of the top reasons is so I can just move on from Bonnie Harris as Matt, because he is so good as Matt. And like, I was, before I knew he was going to be recast, I was already picturing him in future. Like when Matt starts to fight, he gets this, his kind of, you know, weapon of choice. Perrin is the axe, obviously, but Matt ends up with this like quarterstaff that has like a short sword on the end of it. And it's called an Ashendari, and he runs it like a quarterstaff, dude. And it's like, he's one of the baddest dudes ever with a quarterstaff, and this has a blade on it. And he starts wearing this hat that like covers his eyes, kind of almost like a Jedi hood style. And he's just like, he's the luckiest dude. Like he does, like it's one of the things that's like, that's, you know, if you compare it to a superpower, you know, Rand can channel. Obviously he's got Jedi like abilities on a scale that's super nuts. Perrin, he speaks to the animals. He's very strong. He can like do the World of Dreams as good as any channeler. Matt is just lucky. He's the Lord of Battles. Whatever decision he makes, whatever the decision he makes in a battle is the right one. If he's playing dice, he can't lose unless he's supposed to lose. And he'll be like, what the fuck? Why did I lose? And he'll be like, I was supposed to. And like you see, it, like it'll work out in the long run. He was supposed to lose at a certain thing, you know? Like, and he's just, he's the best. Oh, they better not fuck up his arc or I'm going to be mad. I'll forgive a lot of shit on this show, but if they mess up Matt, I'm going to be pissed.
I think once new Matt gets his facial hair going, I think he's going to look good.
No. I actually saw a picture of the cast, and he has facial hair kind of more like I picture Matt in the show. Almost. Have you seen, what's that fucking movie with the guy with the stupid mask? Natalie Portman. God damn it.
The Man in the Mat.
V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the mustache that the dude has on the mask, like the little skinny, like pipey mustache.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I picture Matt, but also with kind of like a rough beard around it too, but like mostly that little kind of like thin kind of mustache.
A twirling oh, mustache.
Damn it, I was talking. I wanted to watch this thing. There was supposed to be a statue of this dude called Mordeth. He's the person who kind of fucked up Eredal with his paranoia.
I think we saw him earlier too. Dagger. I think Rand was on top of that statue already. And we definitely saw a shadow.
Well, there's a little statue that has a little dagger in its belt with a little ruby. And I don't know if it's popped. I think it already popped up. But it's right before Matt goes looking and finds this. That's another thing. At the end of the fucking last episode, if Pod and Fane stabs anybody with this dagger, if you get a paper cut from this fucking dagger, you're fucked.
Slithering. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, fuck.
Sorry, Horsey.
I forgot the second he touched that dagger.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh. Oh, boo. Horse melted.
This is funny too. My cousin and a couple of other people I know that are book readers have talked about this part. Amashadar is like kind of like a mist fog type thing in the books.
Yeah.
And they're like, they say, oh man, I thought that this was one of the things that I wish they would have went kind of like living mist with it more than this kind of like oil slick type of thing. I'm not mad at it. It's good. It's sufficiently creepy. But I thought like the living mist that could just reach out and grab you like a fucking octopus tentacle was creepy too. And I feel like they could have done it easily with CGI. So I thought that was something that people would complain about more, but people really liked this. I was kind of like, I want the Mashadar mist.
Yeah. Yeah, this was probably...
This is pretty fucked up.
They could have pulled off the mist, but this was probably much easier in episode two.
Well, what's cool is that this is the exact same, scene as the books, just minus the mist and go with the oil, the like evil oil slick.
Oh, everyone's scattering.
At this point in the book, Tom is with them. It's like at this point in the book, it's really
Rand's over the wall.
Yeah, bye, Matt.
Totally.
Give me the idol, Indy. Give me the idol.
No. This is fucking daunting.
Oh.
Just jump off this wall and hope it's not 4 feet deep on the other side. Oh, Perrin broke his legs. Story's over.
Oh, does it stop on the other side of the gate? Are they like outside of the wall at that point?
No.
Oh, no. Now they're outside of the gate. Oh, not quite. Not yet. Kick it.
Come on, Rand.
You kick like an
Use
actor.
Use the force. It's not attached that good, so don't kick it too hard the first couple times.
Yeah, totally. This is made out of crepe
paper. Movie magic. They didn't really jump off that.
Someone did.
It took too much, man. Too much.
That's a credits hit. And back in
Two Rivers to back. But tell them how this
looks.
Oh my
god,
did they have a canoe?
Hop on this log?
I know.
Fuck.
That's what I was saying. It's so savage, dude.
That is gangster.
I know. I'm like, we're just going to grab this fucking log later. I was like, oh, did they find a little boat?
No,
that's a fucking log. Good times.
No horse, no canoes, just a log.
You two get to fucking swim.
Oh, sorry. One thing about the source, it makes you heavy like a stone. Sorry. Give some, take some.
You have to give up your ability to swim. Well, that's the thing. In the, like, the Age of Legends, like, people could basically like fucking fly, you know, like more or less, you know, like it was like, you know, the most powerful Jedis could straight fucking levitate, jump off shit, like. It was wild. There was no poverty. There was no famine. You know, like everybody had something to do. No, dude, this is actually one of my favorite lines of the whole series. Oh, you actually tried to kill me.
She's rad.
Yeah, she's all, like, dude, like I said, in the books, she does get a little... kind of almost silly over the top, but like, dude, first of all, the actress, she's so good. Like, she can emote so well with like not saying a word. And like, I think she's awesome. And their casting choices have been just spot on so far. Shit, it's over already?
It's over already. This is so awesome. I hope you guys out there are enjoying it because, you know, like I said, when you're watching these, crank up the TV, make sure you've got your subtitles on and watch the show in the background. We'll have some tangents. But this has been so... I feel like I've watched it closer these times than I have at all. Like, even when we were planning our first episode, like, you know, that there was just so much new shit. I was watching it closely, but I just couldn't take it all in. And now that I've got the baseline down, watching it again... is so great.
Well, and it's gonna be funny too, because the more we go along, like, I know, like, probably a lot of the pods are, you know, me taking up like at least 60-40, maybe 70-30 as far as like talking time. And as you get further indoctrinated and you read the book, or, you know, you listen to Eye of the World, you rewatch shit, and we talk about it more, it's like, you will be like, I guarantee it's like, you're going to be like, more questions, more like input and shit like that. So,
yeah. And as I start to, yeah, experience stuff for the first time, I can like almost re-point out stuff to you. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. And it's done, folks. Episode 2 is over. I thought I was going to have a bunch to talk about, but I'm just ready to wrap this so we can plan our next viewing and watch all of these super close and super awesome. And yeah, what do you have to wrap up with? Have anything you want to say?
I mean, I guess maybe I'll try to be a little more breakdowny. As just like, honestly, I'm just enjoying watching the show with my fucking homie. So it's like, it's kind of fun to just sit there and bullshit as shit's going on. Crack jokes about things that you think is funny. Talk about weird stuff. And I don't know. It's super fun.
I think it's great because we have, like I said, we're, you know, planning on doing this for years if things go well. And so,
yeah, that's the goal, right?
For us to miss a few things right now, just gives us, you know, eventually we'll have 50, 60 episodes to try to cull from. But right now, with only 8 episodes, we might as well just beat the shit out of them. And
well, yeah. And my wife, God bless her, I'm just like, guy, you know, like sometimes I feel like my head's going to explode because I'm just like, I want to talk about this. What about this? And like, this made me think of this. And she's like, dude, you're going to do this for a while. Like, don't, you know, shoot your wad. Like, she's like, trust me. Like, you know, I start talking to her about it sometimes. And she's just like, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace. Oh my God. I can't believe him.
Lisa's like, you know what, honey? You know what, honey? Two things can be true. I love you and I hate this fucking show. Those are both facts.
Not even that. It's more like two things can be true. I love you. And I asked you, what should we get for, like, what should we make for dinner? I don't need to know why Rand did this when he was in the world of dreams talking to Raven. Who's Raven, by the way? I don't know. Forsaken? Where were they? What's the world of dreams? Guess what? I don't care because I asked you what you wanted for fucking dinner, dude.
You guys, I had to learn just because at some point I had to sleep or eat or go to work. I had to learn how to be really rude to Fatty when I listened to him. Because if I didn't just fucking walk away from him, I was never going to get on with my day.
I never shut up. Nope. And that's right. And like, she doesn't even say that shit. She just smiles at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm going too deep, huh? She's like, yeah, I don't need to know how the lightsaber works. I just need to know that it's a lightsaber.
Where's
That's
the
fine.
Fucking on
That's
button?
That's totally fine.
Just show me where the on button
is. No, see, there is an emitter thing, and that controls how the... No. Shh. You're so pretty. Stop. Don't you want to play video games, sweetie? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Let me get you. Here's your joystick. Let me get you a shot. And speaking of putting nerdy bullshit on Twitter, what we might do later, folks, we just wanted to get through these episodes just for proof of concept. We might Twitter out our feed, our watch party feed, our Amazon watch party feed at some point. You won't be able to talk to us, but you'll be able to, if you want to type in questions or comments. Yeah, or you can tweet right back or something. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will keep an eye on Twitter. If anybody's out there that, you know, has talked to, you know, us on Twitter and stuff, if you guys want to be a part of that, that would be super dope. I would love that. That's crazy. Like, yeah, I would love it. That would be so much fun just to be like having people type fuck you, Slippy, in the comments.
Fuck you, Fatty. Have a great night.
Damn right.
Thank you for listening to the Thank the Light podcast. podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to this commentary as much as we enjoyed making it. Hope you made it maybe part of your rewatch so you could sit down with some buddies and enjoy season one all over again. If you have any questions or comments, please write to thankthelight@gmail.com. Thankthelight@gmail.com. We will be doing commentaries for all of these episodes. So if you want to get ahead of episode 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, send us some questions or Easter eggs that we should keep our eye out for, things to look for, just whatever, please join us. Also follow the Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman on Twitter. And if you're interested in other podcasts, please go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. We have lots of great podcasts. What I'm hyping up this week is the triumphant return of Time Pop. That's right. My time travel movie podcast is back. Ari is back with me. We are adding Scott into the fold for the third leg of our tripod. Check out Time Pop. New episode out now. Thank the light. Just the way I like it. Yeah. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And I gotta go. What the fuck? My dog just farted on me so bad. What? No, oh, that's the taint on Sidene. We're done.